So last week, you dropped a bomb on me. And that bomb was the idea that social media marketing or personal brand marketing via social media should be a race toward generosity. Or I forgot how brilliantly you put it, but it was the idea that if you have an idea or a piece of intellectual property that you think is valuable, that's the stuff you should be sharing. And I'll admit, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that, but I totally get what you're talking about because of a concept that the military uses called force multiplication, which is if you have a squad of, I don't know how many people are in a squad, but let's say 15 people, and you need to take that 15 people and maximize its potency, put them on top of a hill, because that will instantly multiply their force by X number amount. Force multiplication is exactly what you're doing with your blog, because you write that blog, you spend however many hours you did, and then it works for you overnight, every night, all around the world, 24/7, 365. And even if it's old data, it's still there helping you with SEO ranking and all that stuff. So it's multiplying your force. It's literally marketing you while you sleep so that when you are awake, you can really take advantage of all that stuff. And what you said last week that impressed me too was the idea that if you create the unique data point, the unique point of view that you can prove, the unique study or report that contains a ton of valuable information, you now become the authority that others link to. And we all know the value of link backs and all that stuff. So you're making my head swell in a wonderful way, Andy.
That conversation touched on two of the most effective content marketing tactics that we've discovered so far, which is collaboration, work with influencers, add contributor quotes, don't just be a single point of view blog, and original research. When you create original research, it makes your website the primary source, which is a huge force multiplier because you are now like, you know, 100x more likely to get cited or talked about or remembered because you said something that literally contributed to the conversation. When you collaborate with others, the quality of your content improves. You're growing your personal network. You're increasing reach because those collaborators are likely to share. That is a killer combination. Create original research and new data, and do it in collaboration with influencers and other content creators. If you could do that just quarterly, you know, do it just occasionally, do it once a year, do it as often as you can. But those two things are not used by the majority of bloggers, yet they have a massive outsized correlation with success, as we've seen from our study.
Yeah, and again, that study, which you can get at orbitmedia.com/blog, and then search for new blogging statistics, you will see it's an incredible study. It's very, very rich with up to the minute information based on, was it SurveyMonkey that you used?
Yep. It was just the mechanism for the survey.
Yeah. Well, you've got 1,279 responses. That creates that's a pretty hefty sample size for, you know, a subculture of American culture at large, a subculture of active bloggers, especially now. And you know, some of the bloggers you talk to are probably pretty green. Other ones have been around since the dawn of blogging and everything in between, which gives you a wonderful sample to pull from and a whole lot of really compelling information, if for no other reason, to get you thinking. And again, if I were to deconstruct the Andy Crestedina brand, it would have to be something along the lines of quintessentially Midwestern.
I like that.
Well, it's true, man. Feet on the ground, smile on your face, word as bond.
Born in Milwaukee, kind of, you know, went to college in Iowa City, grew up in the Chicago burbs. Yeah. I'm definitely Midwest.
Yeah, a combination of corn-fed and bratwurst-fed at the same time. But that's an important thing to know, because you didn't come from the East Coast or the West Coast or Texas or, you know, something like that. These things are all important for people to know. It's not just about you being a digital marketer dealing with SEO and web services. It's about how you do it, who you are, how you do it, and what you do, and how you're different than anybody else. So if I were to look at your Orbit Media competitive set, I would have to say, I wonder how many of them are creating reports of this heft and weight and value. Because I'm guessing the number is pretty small, because I look at this amount of work and I'm doing the math on the 33 charts you've got going on. Okay, let's say we do these fast at 2 to 3 hours per chart, 33, that's a lot of time, man. That's 100 hours on charts.
It's like a 120 hour project per year, we estimate, something like that.
Yeah. Well, you can see the value because it plays on the stage, if you will, and the stage happens to be your website, which again is always mm-hmm. on, always available, and always linkable mm-hmm. to. Again, so I'm looking at Andy, trying to deconstruct him, quintessentially Midwestern, data diligent. I'm just going to coin that phrase, data diligent, because you bring that diligent data with you wherever you go, and then gently provocative. Now, I use the word provocative to describe my brand because I'm a full pokey in the eye guy.
We love that about you, DP. That's it.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. But you are gently provocative, or maybe it's more like ninja provocative. It's like you don't know you've been provoked until you walk away and go, oh, I got to rethink everything I know about blogging, which is what this report did for me, speaking for myself.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Culture Chicken Brand Egg. What's that? It's one of my most requested presentations, now available as in-person live or virtual online presentations. If you've got a group or association that loves presentations that inspire, inform, entertain, and get you going at the same time, we should talk. Head on over to dpknewton.com/speaking to download my full speaker media kit today, and let's start talking about how I can help you get your party started.
Well, there's a writing thing about being provocative, or at least not watering things down. It's been part of our strategy to go back and update old blog posts over time. And I've got articles that I've updated twice over, 6 years or something. And in each case, I go back to the draft and I make a copy of the draft, and then I start updating the draft. And as I look through my writing from years ago, I realize just how much more wordy I used to be and how much more careful I was about being exactly accurate and how many more qualifying statements and throat-clearing language I added. It's like a little time capsule that shows me that hopefully it's an improvement. My writing has changed to become more direct. I'm less worried about making everyone happy. I'm just trying to make, it's like teaching. You're bringing the reader with you to get to another place. So to do that, to move people with you, it's very helpful to be more forthright than they expect and to be slightly disarming by using language that is slightly more direct. Even if it triggers a small amount of pushback, I don't mind that at all. So that idea is interesting. It's like, you called it gently provocative. I love that idea. And I think it's important for writers to be careful that their writing doesn't taste like water. Give it a little edge. Very helpful.
Yeah, well, if you think about writers like Harper Lee, who wrote To Kill a Mockingbird, which is probably on the top 10 list of about, I don't know, every American who had to read it in high school or, mm-hmm. or middle school, her gentle provocation towards racial justice. I mean, kids didn't even know they were getting exposed to that until they experienced that book and developed a sense of right and wrong that did not exist before they opened the cover mm-hmm. of that book. That type of gentle persuasion, gentle provocation is incredibly powerful. But I get what you're saying, especially about your writing style and how it's changed. I'm going to point to one thing that I think is probably, and I'm guessing here, probably the cause of that. And it comes down to one word, confidence. At the beginning, just like everybody else, you tend to overly caveat things just use way too many words, to use 50 words when you could use 10. Mm-hmm. Then over time, especially as you get older, you realize, you know what? If you want to say, I want a hamburger, just say, I want a hamburger.
Yeah, I think it's an American thing, maybe. We kind of just, is a roundabout way to get to the point sometimes. One of the best writers on this is Anne Handley.
Right.
And one of her big messages is just boldness. Write that thing that you want to say and do it, omit needless words, strunk and white. Another good one is Joanna Wiebe from Copy Hackers.
Right.
A fantastic writer. And she has a whole methodology and it's based on a lot of research, and she's writing high converting landing pages and email copy. And she doesn't mention it as much when she teaches, and she has a whole online course. She's fantastic. but she throws in words that you just wouldn't expect to find in there. I did a webinar with her once and I wrote down all these little sayings that she had thrown in there. And it's just surprising, using a little bit of surprising language, especially in headlines. You know, you're writing a headline tomorrow. Is every word in that headline expected? What would it do? At least write one, right? Write a lot of draft headlines. We saw that that's effective. At least write one or two headlines that have some, come at it from a different angle, like a weird, put some weird words in there. Do something that's deliberately provocative, right? Overstate it. Write a really long headline. I don't know, it'd be fun. You and I are both kind of have come from that same place. It's just like fun to teach.
Yeah.
And if I was like a full-time teacher, I would spend like a week just on headlines.
Yeah.
We're going to write 1,000 headlines this week. You guys ready? Let's do it.
Well, let me tell you, that's exactly the way a lot of copywriters, including myself, work. I mean, if I didn't do, I would always try for 150 headlines.
Wow.
Well, you know, because the first 5 or 10 are the ones that any clever or any sufficiently clever copywriter would come up with. So It's like, well, anybody could come up with this. Then you go down into the slough of despond, this big murky crap. I mean, you're coming up with absolute garbage. And then all of a sudden you break through and you've finally entered the promised land of original, which is, oh, wow. I had to go through the stuff that everyone could come up with to come up with something that was truly unique. And I'm not going to say I always got to 150 headlines per project, because sometimes you just don't have the time to do that. But when you do, two things happen. One, the headlines that sell are one of the first 10 that were clever that everyone can come up with. But most of them come off the tail end, you know, 120, 121. Mm-hmm. The one that was so, huh? Oh, wow, that's really cool. That no one's ever thought of that. Yeah, because no one ever thought of that. Yeah, but it's
that's
crazy.
That's fantastic. That's really hard to do.
It is hard to do. But speed is your friend. When you can turn off the sensor in your head and just go to type, if you're a fast typist or a fast handwriter, just write quickly. And all of a sudden you're going to find a vein of gold, and then you follow that vein of gold wherever it goes.
Well, it's a part of the game that's worth the extra time and effort. I was talking to one way that I ended up describing it just the other day was that every headline is a promise. Reason to click, right? It's like, why would I pay any attention to this? Is this worth 5 seconds of my time? Every human who sees every headline does a split second cost benefit calculation. Is the benefit of clicking this greater than the cost of my having just touched my screen of my phone? So if it's a promise, if every headline is a promise and the viewer is doing this cost benefit thing, then weak promise equals weak headline.
Yep.
Does the headline make a strong promise? It's like that survey you mentioned. It's like, you know, 10% of bloggers are doing things very differently. I'm promising to show you something, how a small number of people are doing something very differently. I want to make a strong promise in every headline. Sometimes it's just straight utility, how to, blah, 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 right? Or 10 ways, blah, 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 you know. But it needs to be specific to work well in that split second cost benefit calculation that we all do every time we see a headline. I like to do research on this. I don't know any way to do it credibly, but how many headlines do you think the average internet user sees in a day?
Yeah, I think I've seen a number touted someplace about that, and the number would blow you away.
1,000? I mean,
yeah, easily.
Yeah, news apps, social streams, your inbox. If you kind of research result in a search results page as a headline, which basically they are, they're title tags.
Yep.
You know, it might be, it's in the, I don't know, 500 to 1,000, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe several thousand headlines we see in a day. So then what is the click-through rate for you as a human? What is your click-through rate on headlines? What percentage of headlines do you click or tap? It's less than 1%, clearly, right? So there's no real way to study that. Maybe we can figure out a methodology where we could credibly produce a number.
Yeah. Well, I love that formulation that every headline is a promise. I'm going to add another word that I think goes along with that, and that word is puzzle. And the idea is that something is implied but left out that you need to discover through engaging with the actual article. My big theory has always been that people love puzzles. And whenever I write that as a headline, I write P space Z space L space S. And it's like, you can see the puzzle right there, which is what is this word? The word spells out puzzle, and aren't I clever? Not so much, but it does make the point that people are always looking for patterns. And if there's a pattern that is incomplete, they want to fill it in. And there's a little bit of a cognitive stress there that forces people to go, I don't want to spend time on this, or I got to find out what it is. And, you know, some of those puzzles are list baity garbage, you know, the answer will amaze you type crap that that you get all over the internet. But other ones are really smart, and some of the most effective visual advertising doesn't have a headline at all, but there's a puzzle implied, you know. And you're in Chicago, and back in the day, I would ride, you know, I worked at DDB Needham in Chicago, and I would drive the various highways, and Chicago has some of the best outdoor boards that you can find anywhere because they are always so creative. And I remember one that was painted Wheaties box orange, and it had at the top of the billboard, a backboard from a basketball court. And then down at the bottom was a guy like halfway up doing a dunk on it, which would be like, what, a 50-foot jump?
Yeah.
And every time you saw it, the puzzle was, well, what's this for? And then you go, oh, it's Wheaties orange. It's Wheaties, the cereal that gives the energy to make these incredible athletic feats. Why? Because we always feature a big athlete on the box of the Wheaties box, you know? That's a puzzle. It's a visual puzzle. And it intrigued me. And it took me, I don't know, driving past it two or three times to go, oh, I get it. And the reward, that dopamine hit of, oh, I get it, makes me love it all the more.
Yeah, I think that's effective. It's to not give the person the answer, but let them discover something, the joy of discovery. And in marketing, you know, if you're teaching something, you're teaching an approach or a framework, but then they get to apply that in their mind to their context. And to see that, yeah, it's powerful. It lights up.
Dare I say that they have truly engaged with you?
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, the moment. Yep.
Exactly. I mean, people use engagement, throw it around like some type of basic thing. And it's like, no, it's everything. It is the thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't want people to go, oh, I saw it. I want them to go, oh, I saw it. I engaged with it. And now I'm in a relationship with whoever created that communication.
Yeah. And then all the rest of those psychological dominoes take effect. It's like reciprocity. You helped me.
Yep.
Or exclusivity. You know, I felt like I was part of this thing. We keep talking about original research, but you put it out there. You're basically just, it's like throwing tools on a table. Go make something with this. Go build your case. Go tell your own story. Disagree with it, or take that piece and use it over here, and this other piece, throw the rest away. You know, you're inviting them to apply the thing that you've created however they would like. And it's your hope that they'll get some value from it somehow. You rarely get feedback to know if they really did. But don't be surprised if years later you meet someone who says, you really helped me. We've never met, but you really helped me. And that's when you know that you're winning. Yeah, like that generosity contest.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Handley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Yeah, and I know that you get that all the time. I know that when I've met people that have listened to this podcast, especially from overseas, that I meet them at Social Media Marketing World or something like that, and they come up and they treat me like I'm their friend, and I have no idea who they are, but I'm happy to meet them, believe me, because that's why I go to Social Media Marketing World. And they tell you that, oh, they really got something out of stuff. Half the time I'm going, really? Great. So it's working. Thank you.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Like, podcasting's tough too, right? It's a low feedback channel.
Oh yeah. Well, the funny thing is, it's very intimate, and
it is.
I don't know if you know Scott Galloway. He's a professor of marketing at the Stern School of Business at NYU. Mm-hmm. He's also on the Pivot podcast with Kara Swisher, which is a fantastic podcast. Hmm. He talked about how he knows how people know him. If they see him across the hall and wave at him, they've seen his videos. If they come up and ask him a serious question, they've seen him speak in person. But if they come up, give him a hug and treat him like a friend, it's because they've listened to his podcast. Because literally, the podcast is in your ears.
They're in your ears. Yep.
I hate to say it, but podcasters actually penetrate you. Which is, again, me being a little too provocative, perhaps, but that's the way I roll. But I'm talking to the gently provocative Andy Crestidina, who, as you can see, when we get on a conversation, the conversation can go on and on. And I truly appreciate the way he shares so openly with the original research that he creates through his company, Orbit Media Studios in Chicago, Illinois. I really cannot recommend enough that you go to orbitmedia.com, check out their blog, and then look for the article that's titled New Blogging Statistics. Blogging still works, especially for the 10% of bloggers who do things very differently. It's well worth your time. And again, I just want to thank you for continuing to churn out really valuable information like that and share it so freely.
Thank you for reading and for having me on and for this conversation and for your faithfulness to the collaborative philosophy that we're part of right now. I love it. DP, this is great.
Well, thank you so much. Andy, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you or engage with you via social media, what are your main social channels? How would you like people to maybe engage with you?
LinkedIn is probably my best, where I'm most often. I'm also active on Twitter. I don't really use Facebook almost at all. Right now, my LinkedIn has, there's like a setting in LinkedIn where you can change the connect button to follow, which I have done, but that doesn't mean that you can't get to connect with me. I encourage every listener, anyone who wants to, please feel free, go straight to LinkedIn and hit the more button so you can find the connect button and connect with me there. And then there are the newsletters every 2 weeks. So at orbitmedia.com, you can sign up for that on the blog. That article you mentioned is visible in Google. If you just search for blogging statistics, you can find it in Google. It ranks number 2 or 3 right now.
Great. Once again, I just want to say thank you to Andy Crestidina for joining me today. And thank you for listening. If you like the podcast, can you do me a huge favor and give it a thumbs up, like, refer it to other people, subscribe to it, but most of all, review it. If you can review it, give an honest review wherever you get this podcast, I'd really appreciate it because it helps other people find us. Again, I'm DP Knutin for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, and he is
Andy Crestidina from Orbit Media.
And I'll be talking to you guys next week. Bye-bye.